came to SLAC in 1976. He served as SLAC's third director from 1999 until earlier this month. Jonathan will read remarks from Burton Richter, who was SLAC's second director, succeeding Pete as director of the lab in 1984. Burt won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1976 for discovering the psi particle at SLAC. Jonathan will also read remarks from David Leith, former research director at SLAC. Jonathan.
Bert was not able to be here today. He's just had a medical procedure. I'm glad to say he's recovering well. And I read these remarks on his behalf. These are Bert. I first met Pete in 1956 at the New York meeting of the American Physical Society, the main meeting for interviewing new PhDs looking for jobs. I was looking for a job when I finished my PhD in the fall. I didn't know Pete then except by reputation. But I did know that the Stanford High Energy Physics Laboratory, with its 700 MeV linear accelerator, was where I wanted to go to do some particular experiments that interested me. I did get an offer of a job as a postdoc in his group at Heppel on the main campus. I showed up in September of 1956 and began a relationship with Pete that has lasted over 50 years. Looking back over the entire period, I can see several consistent themes. Pete was always moved by the physics more than anything else. Good physics was the password, and if you uttered the password and backed it up, Pete would do his best to see that whatever it was you wanted to do got done. Pete's best was very good indeed. My first experience with what he could do was when he set out to do something with me, the Princeton-Stanford Electron Colliding Beam Experiment, CBX. Jerry O'Neill, as Dick noted, of Princeton, came to Pete with an idea for what would be the world's first colliding beam storage ring and an experiment to go with it. If it worked, it would be not merely good physics, but a revolutionary new physics tool. Heppel was the place to do the experiment because the electron LINAC was an ideal injector. It was clear to Pete that the project was important, and he asked me if I was interested in joining the group. I jumped at the chance since this was a much better way of doing the experiment that originally had brought me to Stanford. Our budget was to be $800,000, a very large amount for that time. Pete went off to Washington and came back with the funding. I don't know how he convinced the Office of Naval Research to back it, but convinced them he did. I took it fair to call Pete, at the very least, the godfather of colliding beams. If there was an irresistible force in getting things funded in Washington, it was W.K.H. Panofsky. That irresistible force surfaced again in getting funding for the SLAC 2-mile accelerator. This project was the first $100 million class project in science, and Pete sold it to the Atomic Energy Commission and the Eisenhower administration. I think he had a bit of help here from the Russians, who had launched the Sputnik satellite in 1957, which led to the crisis of confidence in the government science bureaucracy and also led to a sharp increase in science funding. While the funding had gone up, where there were other contenders for the country's first $100 million project, most of the high energy physics community thought that proton accelerators were the only way to progress. But PEEF was the irresistible force. The SLAC machine was built in only 4 years, a remarkable tribute to PEEF's organizational abilities as well as to his scientific vision. Under his leadership, a flood of results poured out that transformed particle physics. During the late 1960s and 1970s, Pete's laboratory was generally regarded as the most productive lab in the world's high energy physics community. In 1984, Bert continues, after 22 years as SLAC director, Pete stepped down and I succeeded him. For a physically small man, Pete left an enormous pair of shoes to fill. I had worked with the master for 28 years and absorbed what I felt were the Panofsky principles of running a laboratory. The physics comes first. Go with the first-rate idea, whether it comes from a postdoc, a faculty or staff member, or an outsider to the laboratory. find the resources to realize it. Think long range. Labs are for the long term, and to be the frontier in the long term, your laboratory had better be seeding the things that were important in 10 to 20 years, as well as important in the next few years. Remember that national labs are to serve the broad science community, not just the interests of their staff. Pief and I remained close even after I became director. Our secret was we both were Saturday morning workers. At the beginning of my directorship, I would spend an hour or two with Pief, a couple of times a month. Over the years, it tapered off to a couple of times a quarter, perhaps because Pief decided I really had learned enough. I have one other connection to the Panofskys. I married Pief's secretary. LaRose, who's sitting over there to my right. LaRose knew Adele and the Panofsky kids in a way that I never did. We both offer our deepest condolences to Adele and to the family. All who knew Pief will miss him. He left us as he wanted to, working at full throttle. Bert Richter.